We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Author of college football's most comprehensive preview magazine. A man with a mustache that would make Ron Burgundy weep. Bringing you picks and analysis for this week in college football. This is the Phil Steele Show.
3 weeks remain in the regular season. That means we have four shows of the Phil Steele Show. Here coming to you live every Thursday at 1 o'clock at CS Now Tweets, Phil Steele. You can find him on Twitter at PhilSteele042. With Trip Hurd, I'm Kyle Schasperger. He is the game breaker, the unicorn, the matchmaker himself, Phil Steele. Much like Justin Fields has become must-watch television, Phil Steele, if you haven't had his magazine, it's must-read content for every college football fan. So just go to philsteele.com at this point in time as we're on week 11 of the college football season. Learn more about Phil Steele. Plus, at philsteele042 on Twitter is where you can find him. And Phil, you gave out some winners last week, as did I. We combined to go a perfect 6-0 with our picks last week. The Sickos got to 9-2. I'm not so sure about Trip, but let's try to replicate that effort this week, shall we?
Sounds good. That was an outstanding week then. For last week,
the teaser hit as well. Just to throw that in there,
nice.
For the second time,
good third time.
Good for
third
you, Trip.
Come on,
third time. I beg your pardon. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. We've got Thursday and Friday night games that we want to touch on. Two on Thursday, three on Friday, and then ranked on ranked matchups. We've got four of those to key in on this weekend. So we'll go through the slate, the Nooners, the midday, the 3:30 window, and then the evening, and then try and do some late night chasing. Phil will have his top three plays before we get out of here. Be sure to interact with us at CS Now Tweets again for your chance to win a free subscription of Phil Steele Plus valued at $99. One lucky random winner will be selected. That for next year, which will certainly help you be more like Phil Steele. Bet smarter, not harder.
Gamble, tease, and lean. It's the new GTL. Time for Thursday night college football.
We begin with Thursday night, Phil. Georgia Southern at Louisiana Lafayette. This is a 7:30 contest. The Eagles are getting 3.5 points. 62.5 is the total. They've lost 4 of 5 against Louisiana. But the road team is 4-1 against the spread in this series over the last five.
Yeah, and this one, I like Louisiana. I know Georgia Southern's been great this year. In fact, I've never seen an option offense, a team switching from the option offense to a pure pass offense, have this much success before. Georgia Southern putting up 480 yards per game, 36 points per game. So they're having a phenomenal season, well beyond my expectations. But naturally, going from the option to a pass-based offense, the defense has taken a big hit. They're actually allowing opponents 115 yards per game, more than what they come in averaging. Number 129 in the country. They're giving up 5.6 yards per carry. and a high percentage of completions as well. That plays right into Louisiana's hands. They play their best football when they can run it. They'll be able to run it here. I like the way Ben Woolridge has been playing at the quarterback spot lately, and Louisiana's playing better football as of late. Now, if you look at my last 4 weeks, AGG, and I won't click it on the screen here right now, Louisiana's playing to a level of 100.2 recently. Georgia Southern 92 their last 4 weeks. So that would tell you Louisiana by about 11 at home. I like Louisiana minus the points. I think they're playing their best football right now, and probably should have beaten Troy last week. That Troy had a miracle comeback to get that win.
All right, another game tonight, Thursday, 7:30 kick. Tulsa on the road at Memphis. The Tigers are laying 7 points, the total sitting at 61.5. These are two teams that have been pretty good to me all year, and Tulsa just barely, by half a point, eked out a win for me in that teaser. I think they lost by 14. We had 14.5, so good on the Golden Hurricane. All right, tonight we've got a Memphis team that their quarterback seems to be throwing a lot of picks here lately. He's got 6 over the last 3 games. They're going to need him to take better care of the ball if they're going to cover that 7, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one where on the field, I can't give you a complete reasoning behind Tulsa, but angle-wise, oh, definitely Tulsa. Montgomery is 22-8 as an away dog. He has lost the last two as a home dog, actually, against the spread. But when he gets on the road or at home, he's usually pretty good as a dog. 22-8 is a great record. And his current run as an away dog, 12-1 against the spread. Now, Silverfield may win games at home, but he never covers. The guy's 5-14 as a favorite right now. 6 of the last 7 meetings have gone over the total, but I definitely like Tulsa plus the points. I can see Memphis winning the game, winning a close one, but definitely Tulsa plus the points. And I got a feeling, Tripp, that might end up into your teaser section at the end of the day.
It might. We'll check on that one. I've got some pretty good picks here laid out. They're not in there right now, but like I said here lately, I've tried to keep the teaser open. I haven't locked anything in, so that way you can change my mind on a few things. But for right now, let's jump over to Friday night.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody,
we don't go gambling on Friday nights. We go winning. Save the C note you are going to spend on date night and put it in action like a self-respecting person.
We'll stay in the American Conference. East Carolina on the road at Cincinnati. Looks like 5.5 points the Bearcats are favored by, the total at 52.5. Look, ECU's won 3 in a row. They're a pretty good team. I mean, we've talked all year about their losses. They've had pretty good losses. The only game that really slipped away from them was the Tulane game. Now, even with that ECU offense, the overs for ECU right now, they're not looking that good. They're only 4-5 on overs this year. And Cincinnati, they've got 5 unders in a row. Are we going to play the streak on this under total here?
I could see the under because, as you mentioned, Cincinnati seems to be an under team. They have a good defense. Not quite as explosive as last year. Remember last year they had a quarterback in Desmond Ridder who lit it up with 30 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions. This year, Ben Bryant, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Also, last year, they had their best running back, Jerome Ford. He's now off to the NFL. He averaged 6.1 yards per carry. McClellan's got 727 yards. With East Carolina, that's a team I definitely like. I was hoping to get a few more points here. I thought we'd be getting about 7. Spread's a little under what I thought it was. But this is an East Carolina team that should have beaten NC State in the opener. They missed the extra point, missed the field goal, had a tough loss against Navy by 3, and playing really good football. They can run the ball with Keaton Mitchell, as well as Marlon Gunn, who's taken over for Rajah Harris. And then Holt Naylor's their quarterback, hitting 70% with an 18-5 ratio. So I think East Carolina's playing good on both sides of the ball. I like the Pirates plus the points and a possible upset there.
Yeah, I really love Holt Naylor's and what he's finally turned into. I mean, heck, he's been the starter for what seems like 5 years. It seems like he's been there forever. And I think if one thing's for certain, the CCU team isn't going to lose to Cincinnati if they do lose in the fashion they have the past couple of years. COVID year is 55-17. 35-13 last year. Pirates have lost four straight on a Friday night. ECU catching five. I'm kind of leaning the Pirates there. Also on Friday night, 9:30, not 10:30, for those who like to throw shade on the Pac-12, not playing early enough. At least it's a 9:30 start for a Heisman Trophy candidate in Caleb Williams and USC hosting Colorado. A massive line. This is the second biggest line behind the 40.5 Ohio State is favored by at home against Indiana. But the Trojans, given 34.5, 66 is the total, Phil. Any value here at all? Jordan Addison, Mario Williams, I know, did practice this week. I think they're a game-time decision to return to the lineup for Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I don't see any value in this one. If you look at USC, they can easily get the cover. If you look at Colorado's four road games this year, they lost by 31 at Air Force. They lost by 42 at Minnesota. They lost by 33 at Oregon State, and they lost by 23 at Arizona. They're 0-4 against the spread on the road, losing by 32 points per game, which is why the spread's up there. For USC, they can win this one by that amount, but they've got a pretty big game on deck against UCLA. They've got to get those receivers healthy. I don't expect to see them playing the entire game. Let's get healthy and ready for that huge game against UCLA next week. So I'm staying away from that one.
All right, and the late kick on Friday night, we've got Fresno State, another team from last week's teaser. They took care of business against Hawaii. They're on the road at UNLV this week. At first glance, I thought this was a little bit of a fishy line. They're only favored by 9.5 against a UNLV team that really hasn't done anything in a month or so. I think their last really impressive performance was when they blew out North Texas. That might have been all the way back in September. What do you see in this one, Phil?
Yeah, and this is one where the individual stats really come into play when you look at the two teams. So let's click on Fresno. And once again, we have the individual stats on Phil Steele Plus for this year, updated every single week. We've got them for past years as well. You can just click on them. If you want to know how a quarterback did against a team previous year, you're looking for fantasy football, use that. But in this case, let's click on the individual player stats, and you see the story of Fresno this year. Jay Kaner was the starting quarterback, explosive offense, took Oregon State to the wire, got injured against USC, did not play 1, 2, 3, 4 games, came back, was a little rusty against San Diego State, did score in the final two drives in the last minute and a half to pull out that win. And then last week, look at that, 337 yards, 4 touchdowns. Fresno's offense is back in sync. And the same thing with UNLV, though. Let's click on their individual player stats here. And when you look at the individual player stats, you could see that Doug Brumfield was their starting quarterback the first 5 games. They were playing really good. Brumfield went out with injury against San Jose, Air Force, Notre Dame, did return last week against San Diego State, and they played San Diego State tough. The 3 games Brumfield didn't play, they lost badly to San Jose, Air Force, Notre Dame, didn't cover any of those games, returned to the cover form last week. So you've got 2 healthy quarterbacks here, Brumfield and Hayner. Both teams are playing their best. That's why the number's where it is right now. I think my projected score in the game, I got Fresno winning at 36-26. I think it'll be a good game, but I would lean with Fresno minus the points. But do keep in mind, Brumfield's back for UNLV as Hayner is for Fresno.
If you're watching live at CS Now Tweets, you're seeing Phil share a screen. That's Phil Steele Plus, giving you a glimpse, peek behind the curtain of what Phil Steele Plus can do. Again, plus your odds each and every week with Phil Steele Plus extended data, all the advanced analytics, the odds histories, the game-by-game histories, it's all there updated each and every Sunday after each game. So go to philsteele.com, Phil Steele Plus, for more information. Again, interact with us at CS Now Tweets. We'll hook somebody up with a free subscription to Phil Steele Plus for next football season. It is a must-have. Information about Inside the Press Box. Phil's weekly newsletter also can be found at philsteele.com. UNLV hadn't scored more than 21 points all but just one time since September, and that came in a loss against Notre Dame. So, yeah, they're going in the wrong direction. Bulldogs have won 4 straight against the Rebels overall, averaging 45 points, 475 yards per contest.
It's high noon on Saturday. This has to be what heaven feels like, right?
To Saturday, Phil. Missouri and 5th-ranked Tennessee. The Volunteers got knocked back just a tad. They fall to the top 4 of the college football playoff rankings. I think they were dominated on both sides of the line of scrimmage by Georgia. It really wasn't as close as what the score had indicated. 27-13 was the final. Georgia came out on top between the hedges. So Georgia back to the undisputed number one, according to the CFP committee. Tennessee at 5, favored by 20.5 at home, 56.5 is the total. 12 o'clock is the start for this one. Missouri, Phil, has not lost an SEC game, though, by more than one score this year. Does that change Saturday?
Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, when you look at this particular matchup, it is a battle of offense versus defense. I mean, we talked about Missouri's defense the last couple of weeks, and it started last year. The last four games of the year, they only allowed 335 yards per game. This year, they're only allowing on the season 303. The last 4 weeks, only giving up 260 yards per game. So they do have an exceptional defense. But when you look at Tennessee, the one thing I want to point out there is they do well off a loss. They lost to Pitt. They win 56-0. They lose to Florida. They beat Missouri last year 62-24, handled them, and that was on the road. They did lose to Alabama after a loss to Mississippi, but then bounced back and beat Kentucky. And then after a loss to Georgia, they beat South Alabama. So 4-1 against the spread off a loss. Naturally, it's the first loss of the year. You got to expect that defense going to get rolling at home. And I was disappointed with Missouri's offense last week. I thought only 232 yards against Kentucky, 12 first downs. They really struggled in that game. So I do like Tennessee minus the points in this one, even though Missouri does have a very good defense.
Missouri did keep it close against Kentucky, but yeah, the Tigers and Eli Drinkwitz, fresh off that 2-year extension, one of those puzzling moves. I don't know why we continue to give the coaching market has just gone bonkers in college football. But good for Drink. Yeah, where was he going to go? It's not like his contract was expiring. You see that time and time again, which is causing these salaries to become more absurd as they skyrocket and the buyouts continue to cripple fan bases and universities. Or do they? Because coaches are shown the door rather freely. Let's move to Notre Dame at Navy. This game's going to be played actually in Baltimore, the neutral site, quote-unquote, game between the Midshipmen and the Fighting Irish. Notre Dame back into the rankings as 20th-ranked team, according to the CFP. Midshipmen are 15-point underdogs. 39.5 is the total. 12 o'clock game, 95th meeting between these two in this long-standing rivalry. The Irish have won 9 of 10. And Notre Dame, Phil, one of your winners from last week, coming off that effort where they just absolutely demoralized Clemson in South Bend.
Yeah, led that thing 35-0 before giving up a couple of late touchdowns. So Notre Dame really looking good. I love their defense all year. Remember, go back to that Ohio State game. They held Ohio State to 100 yards per game below their season average. That was a really good effort there. And they've been playing good defense all season. In fact, they're holding opponents on the year to 90 yards below their season average. I think they match up well against the option. If you go back and take a look at last year's game, they held Navy to 184 yards. 11 first downs. So they know how to play the option. And this is not one of Navy's best options. Remember, a couple of years ago, Navy had an exceptional quarterback in Malcolm Perry, and that was an explosive offense for Navy. This one's not explosive. In fact, they've had 7, 13, 10, even last week, 10 points against Cincinnati. In fact, they only had 224 yards against Temple, 260 yards against Cincinnati. I think Notre Dame has close to shutting them out, the reason the total's low. Now, Navy's got a good run defense, but of course they're not taking on teams like Notre Dame. I feel I'm on the Joe Moore Award Committee, and we're actually voting on our semifinalists for the Joe Moore Award. I feel pretty confident Notre Dame's offensive line will be in there. We've seen Notre Dame's offensive line dominate Clemson's excellent defensive front last week, 5.6 yards per carry. They'll be able to move the smaller midshipmen here. So I definitely like Notre Dame minus the 15 in this one over Navy.
All right, from a game with a total of 39.5, let's jump to one with a little more tempo. Oklahoma at West Virginia. Looks like the Sooners are laying 6 points with a total of 67. So we're going to see some more points in Morgantown this weekend. Look, I'll just preface this. I don't have any interest in betting either one of these teams because they burn me every single time I've taken either one of them this year. So I'm staying away from it. But the Sooners, they've lost 4 out of 6, but they've dominated this series with West Virginia since West Virginia's been in the Big 12. I know West Virginia is a different team at home, but is that enough to make you lean towards them this week, Phil?
I'm not wild about this game. I would probably lean with Oklahoma based on the series, as you mentioned. If you click here on Phil Steele Plus. You just come down here to click on the opponent. When you do that, up pops the series. And as you could tell here, Oklahoma has won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in a row in the series. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 1, and 1 against the spread. So they do extremely well when playing West Virginia. West Virginia, of course, has been struggling as of late. If we take a look at them over here, you see a lot of the red on the defensive side of the ball. They're allowing 517 yards per game the last 4 weeks. This line here is something I use a lot. How a team's playing the last 4 weeks is really good. In fact, they're minus 164 yards per game. Oklahoma only minus 19. The Sooners seem to be playing a lot better since they got their quarterback back. Remember the Kansas game, Iowa State, Baylor. It's another one where if you look here, you could see the games that Gabriel missed. He got injured against TCU, a blowout loss, missed the Texas game. He's been back ever since. So you're getting better quarterback play with Gabriel, better offense. They've proven they can win on the road in this series. So add it all up. I'm going to go with Oklahoma minus the points in that one.
Going to be a far cry from the game when it was last played in Morgantown, 2018, Phil. 59-56, Oklahoma had won that one, 1,400 combined yards between the two teams. And, yeah, West Virginia's only win or last win before Big 12 opponents that they were 2008, the Fiesta Bowl. So I want to sneak in an American game before Tripp brings us back to one more noon window game, the Battle for the Golden Boot. And we can't go without talking about SMU, Phil, especially after they dropped 77 points on Houston last week, 140 combined points, the most points in a regulation game ever, at least during the AP poll era. So SMU is a 17.5-point favorite on the road at South Florida, who's without their head coach. Jeff Scott gets booted. He gets shown the door. The pink slip to Scott after winning only one FBS game. I don't know if the Jeff Scott bump exists in the same way the interim coach bump existed for teams like Charlotte, Georgia Tech. I'm not seeing it happening, especially when Tanner Mordecai, who threw 9 touchdown passes last week, is going to take on a South Florida defense that is near the bottom of the rung in all of FBS football. 12 o'clock on ESPNU. Can SMU cover the 17.5?
Yeah, and South Florida's defense giving up 522 yards per game. They're giving up 6 yards per carry on the ground, 74% completions in the air, and allowing opponents 109 yards per game above their season average. Now, if they give SMU 109 yards above their season average, that means that Smoo gets 588 yards here. So that could be pretty explosive. Not sure if Contavious March can keep up with that. Remember, they lost their starting quarterback, Gary Bohannon, a few weeks ago. They have been moving the football as of late against Houston and Temple, but this is a South Florida team that probably is going to struggle to keep pace with SMU. So I agree with you. You've got the coaching bounce for USF, but I'd probably lean with SMU minus the points in that one.
All right, one more game on the noon slate that we've got to talk about because it looks like Vegas has just decided to give away some money here. LSU only laying 4 on the road at Arkansas. What's going on? They upset Alabama. And KJ Jefferson, do we really know if this guy's really healthy yet or not? So I don't know, Phil. This is one where I'm taking Brian Kelly and the Tigers and not looking back. What have you got on this game?
Yeah, it'd be tough for me to go against LSU the way they've played the last 3 games. I mean, their offense has been nearly unstoppable against Florida and Ole Miss. And then, of course, last week pulled the upset of Alabama. But the situation does greatly favor Arkansas. I feel last week Arkansas was looking ahead to this game. They were coming off a big Auburn game. They were in an SEC sandwich. So the situation did not fit Arkansas last week. Hugh Freeze and company took care of business against them. Even though Arkansas did have a 428 to 315 yard edge, they needed a comeback, and then their 2-point conversion came up short. But now they're back at home, as they were last week, so they're rested, they're ready to go, and I think you'll see Arkansas's A++ game. Plus, on the season, Pittman is 11-6 overall in his tenure at Arkansas as an underdog, so he does well. And I like to play against teams off of big wins. I mean, this was a huge win for LSU last week, and they're on the road. So I could see Arkansas definitely making a game of this one, but I do find it tough to bet against LSU until they actually come down to earth because they're playing really good football right now.
Yeah, I don't want those Hogs vibes, Phil, because I'm leading LSU as part of my top 3 plays. KJ Jefferson described as a clavicle bruise, according to head coach Sam Pittman. So playing through lingering shoulder pain, looks like he's going to be game-time decision for Saturday following that loss to Liberty.
Waking up, he's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Robin sticks.
You've already doubled your stack on the noon game. Time to triple it with a little afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
I think the action on week 11 greatly intensifies as we move along throughout the day, and especially when we hit the 3:30 window, Phil. We've got two massive ranked on ranked games that I think are going to be incredibly entertaining. One, I think the line is too big. The other, I think the line might be just about right as a pick 'em. We'll start with ninth ranked Alabama. Boy, I hope you cashed in your tickets, your futures for Alabama and Clemson not making the college football playoff, if you were able to bet on such a thing, because it looks like that's going to happen, which is wild. Taking on 11th-ranked Ole Miss in Oxford, Rebels are catching 11.5. 65 is the total, 3:30 on CBS. Ole Miss coming off the bye. Alabama, of course, the overtime loss. Tied or 6-0 straight up, 3-3 against the spread since 2016 against the Rebs.
Yeah, and this is one where I just like to play Alabama off a loss. They've been pretty much money in the bank. They lost to Tennessee. They came out and blew out Mississippi State 30-6. In fact, Mississippi State scored on the final play of the game. They lost to Texas A&M last year. They blew out Mississippi State 49-9. The previous year, they did not lose during the regular season. They lost to LSU. They blew out Mississippi State 38-7. They lost to Auburn. They go to the bowl game and beat Michigan 35-16. And their other game off a loss was at Auburn. They lost that one by 12. And then they in the playoff, they were actually an underdog, I believe, to Clemson, and they beat them 24-6. So 5-0 against the spread, straight up in ATS off a loss. And this is an Ole Miss team that may be 8-1, but they haven't been super impressive. I mean, Troy covered against them. Tulsa covered against them. Kentucky covered against them. Auburn covered against them. LSU beat them outright. And last week, they were life and death against Texas A&M. Their defense, which looked to be much improved after 3 weeks this year, has been giving up 456 yards per game over the last 4 weeks, 204 yards per game on the ground, 66% completions. That doesn't bode well when you're taking on Alabama's offense. And Ole Miss is more of a running team this year. Meanwhile, Bama's got a great run defense, giving up just 104 yards per game, 3.0. So I think you have an angry Alabama only laying 12.5 on the road. I actually like Alabama minus the points in this one to win it by more than two touchdowns.
Yep, this one's on the teaser. We've got Alabama in there. I like them as well to go down there and smack around Ole Miss on Saturday.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The next game on our list, we've got a ranked-on-ranked matchup, number 22 UCF on the road at 17th-ranked Tulane. Tulane is favored by 1.5, the total sitting at 54.5. Honestly, I think it's a coin flip game. It's probably Tulane's toughest matchup since Kansas State. Maybe the toughest game they've had all year outside of that. But I am leaning towards the under in this game. I think UCF has been a pretty good under team this year. And Tulane, pretty stout defense. I think it's a good spot for the under.
What's your total there, Tripp?
50,
I heard you say it, but I didn't catch it.
54.5.
Yeah, my projected score in the game is UCF 26-21. So that definitely
right on the line
bodes well for the under on that one. And I think when you look at Tulane, as you mentioned, you know, they have got a good defense this year. They're only giving up 307 yards per game, but they've played a pretty weak schedule. UCF has taken on the tougher schedule this year. They won the big showdown game against Cincinnati. They've also played Louisville this season. They played SMU's high-flying offense, remember? And I still feel UCF is the best team in the American Conference. And I do expect John Rhys Plumlee back this week, which would be a big plus. If he's not, Mikey Keene has looked well. They've got the run game. They're averaging 239 yards per game, 5.3 yards per carry. I think they'll be able to move it if Plumlee's back, or Keene, they'll be able to throw the football. And defensively, they're strong as well. I just think they're better, battle-tested, and to me, they're the best team in the American Conference. So I'm going to go with UCF to pull the upset here. It's not a big upset with where the line is, but I like UCF plus the points, and I do like the under. I agree with you, Tripp.
UCF has won 9 of 11 meetings against Tulane. Those two losses coming in NOLA, it's just a travesty. College game day is not there. I feel like we said that a couple of times this year on locations that they have passed on for others, and instead they're going to go back to Austin. So that would have been fun, certainly in NOLA for Tulane and UCF. That's a 22-17 matchup. Again, 3:30 on ESPN2. To the Big Ten, third-ranked Michigan looks primed for another playoff run here, Phil. It's all going to come down to Ohio State and Michigan. It's been the date that has been circled, that final Saturday in November that we've all been looking ahead to for much of this year. Michigan, maybe another first-half scare like when they played Indiana when they were taking on Rutgers this past weekend, but they were able to step on the gas and pull away from the Scarlet Knights. They're favored by 30.5. 48.5 is the total. Back at the Big House, 3:30 on ABC as they welcome in Nebraska. And I think this is like a psychology aspect or part of the equation, Phil, with a lot of these teams. When you know you're not bowling and you've got your backs up against the wall, especially with an interim coach, you know, 2-3 games left, who wants to play? Who wants to play for the name across the front of their chest, not just the name on the back? And are they going to show up and even put forth any bit of effort against the Wolverines? And that question is being asked about the Cornhuskers.
Yeah, I think Nebraska actually will. When I look at Nebraska, they do extremely well in a role of double digits. Remember, they had all those one-score games last year. So naturally, last year, they didn't lose any Big Ten games by a big margin. In fact, their biggest Big Ten defeat has been by 18 points, I believe, over the last 3 years, or in the role of an underdog. So they generally keep it close. And even last week, when they played Minnesota, I'll give you a couple things here. Click on that and share. There we go. When they played Minnesota last week, we give you the halftimes on philsteele.com. Does it surprise you that Nebraska actually led that thing 10-0 at the half with a 151, 31-yard edge? Yes, I said 31-yard edge. And then Minnesota had their starting quarterback in the first half in Tanner Morgan. They went to their backup quarterback in the second half with Morgan injured and were able to rally. But they only won the game by 7. Nebraska covered. Nebraska went into Purdue, only lost by 6. They've got the big blowout loss to Oklahoma. But other than that, if you look there, they're pretty much all close losses. I feel Illinois is a team that's pretty close to Michigan, on par with them. They only lost to them by 17 points. And as mentioned last year, almost all one-score games. The year before that, a lot of one-score losses. Here's their biggest loss in the Big Ten the last 3 years by 18 points against Illinois. So I think Nebraska will show up for this game and play good. Michigan has got Illinois on deck and then Ohio State on deck. So you've got two massive games on deck. Illinois, and I know the Michigan coaches are breaking down the film. They know how good Illinois is. So they know that's going to be a test. They know Ohio State's going to be a test. I would rest some players, towards the second half if I do have a big lead. But I like Nebraska plus the huge amount of points in this game.
For those OG listeners on the podcast feed, listening to the College Sports Now feed, getting the show, go back and watch. Find us on the Varsity Network channel, Learfield Audio on Facebook. See visually what Phil was showing on Phil Steele Plus. All the team pages, they're there. FCS, FBS, NFL team pages, even Phil Steele Plus, valued at $99. Go to philsteele.com. Even bowl projections. And a lot of that green and red color coding. Green is good, red is bad, as Phil illustrates each and every Thursday at 1 o'clock at CS Now Tweets.
All right, next game on the slate here. We'll stay in the Big Ten. Wisconsin on the road at Iowa. Iowa.
What's the total? 23?
35.5. I was going to say this. It looks like Iowa, are they favored by a point and a half? Or no, Wisconsin's favored by a point and a half. But I want to take my first shot at handicapping a football game, because I've got some really different numbers on this. So I've got Iowa checking in with four safeties for a grand total of 8 points. I've got Wisconsin with one safety and one field goal for a grand total of 5. So I've got the final sitting at 8-5 in favor of Iowa. They cover, and the under goes good by 22.5 points. No sweat.
I like it. It's going to be a defensive struggle, and you can't really set the number too low in this one because of that fact. I mean, when you look at Iowa, they have one of the best defenses in the country, bar none. They're holding opponents to 116 yards below their season average, number 5 in the country. And then if you look at who they've played this year, I mean, they took on Iowa State. That's a top 20 defense, probably a top 15 defense. They took on Rutgers, a top 20 defense. Michigan, a top 20 defense. Illinois, a top 20 defense. Ohio State, a top 20 defense. In those games, they put up just 7, 27, and the 27 was, I believe, 2 defensive touchdowns, 14, 16, and 10. So they don't score against top 20 defenses. Meanwhile, the last 2 weeks, they've taken on defenses ranked about 80 or 90. They put up 33 on Northwestern, 24 on Purdue. So they've got the defense. They've struggled against good defenses. And Wisconsin's got a good defense. They're holding opponents of 54 yards per game below their season average. So Iowa's back to taking on a top-notch defense. I don't think they're going to score a lot, but Iowa's defense doesn't let anybody score a lot. In fact, when Ohio State scored 54 points on them, it was with only 360 yards, and it's only because Iowa turned it over 4 times and gave up a blocked punt. So it was a short field all day for Ohio State. They held the Buckeyes to 140 yards below their season average. I wasn't blown away with Wisconsin's offense last week against Maryland. They did run for 278 yards, but they're not going to run for 278 here. So I do think it's going to be a defensive slugfest. One of these two teams wins by 3. I'll lean with the home team, Iowa, to come out with the win. But I actually like defensive football. So you guys may be that new wave of college football that all just love offensive points, but I like to watch defensive football. So I'm going to be watching this one start to finish.
That's fine. I just like winning. So it doesn't matter as long as we're on the right side of it.
Trip, I can't believe you didn't have like a punt block return for a touchdown as part of the formula, the handicap. You'd still come in on the under. Just pick a side. I mean, you've got to factor one of those in. Come
on. I'm sticking with 8-5. That's my final call.
To a game that I have no idea how to begin to handicap or how to place it. That's Louisville's won 3 in a row, going to Death Valley to take on Clemson. 3:30. Tigers are favored by 7 off that horrific loss. I only say horrific just as a Notre Dame backer, just the style of which the Tigers went down. I think Dabo Swinney had said it was the most disappointing he had felt after a loss as the head coach of the Tigers. They are favored by 7 at home. And yeah, the way Notre Dame manhandled Clemson worries me. Thinks Clemson's in a spot where they're bound to get right. However, the quarterback position, the confidence, I just think it's lacking so much. And Louisville is filling themselves, Phil, in a way where they forced 8 turnovers against Wake Forest. Then they get a win over James Madison, where a lot of people wrote the Cardinals off. People have been writing Scott Satterfield off all season, it seems, and Louisville just continues to win.
Yeah, and you go back to their losses this year. I mean, the Syracuse game, there's no explanation. They probably came in reading the press clippings, thought they were a really, really good team, and got overwhelmed by that Syracuse home crowd, which has been fantastic this year. The Florida State game, as you can see, they led that thing 21-14 at the half with a 290 and 217 yard edge. Maybe they relaxed from Florida State, went to the backup quarterback, but somehow Florida State came back and won it. And the Boston College game, they lost their quarterback, Malik Cunningham, in the fourth quarter, and Brock Doman came in. Let me show you the individual stats there. And Doman comes into that game against Boston College, hits 1 of 8 passes for 19 yards. Now, he's been better in relief since then, but he was horrific in relief then, and that allowed BC to come out with the win. But look at the last 4 weeks right here, and we highlight it down here. They've won by 20 points per game. They're outgaining opponents by 106 yards per game. Their defense is holding opponents to 115 yards below their season average, and they're putting up 82 above. They're playing really good football right now. This shocking stat to me in this game, if you would have told me this before the year, I would have said you're crazy. We all know Clemson has my number one rated defensive line in the magazine. They've got so much talent there. These guys are all going to be in the NFL. They're deep. They go about 3 deep on the D-line with all these studs. They have 23 sacks this year, and Kyle's pointed it out before, red and green. This number's black, which means it's not great, but it's not bad. It's a good number, 29. Look at Louisville, 32 sacks this year, 12.4%. These guys are getting after the quarterback more than Clemson's getting after the quarterback. Now, I like to play on good teams off a loss, especially at home, but I think Louisville's playing better form right now. If you look at the last 4 weeks, Clemson's playing to a level of 110. Louisville's playing to a level of 116. So let's give Clemson a 5-point home field edge. That still says Louisville by one. I'll take the points with Louisville. And Malik Cunningham seems to be getting healthier each week. He was able to rest a little bit. He didn't run as much last week. I think you're going to see them unleash Malik Cunningham in this game. I like the Cardinals plus the points.
Xavier Thomas is done for the year. Clemson star, defensive lineman who missed the first five games because of a foot injury and surgery, came back, played against BC, had two sacks in six snaps, but again, re-aggravated that. Dabo Sweeney said on his radio show earlier this week they're going to shut Thomas down.
All right, one more game before we get to the night slate. We've got Army on the road at Troy. Phil, if you like low-scoring games, this might be another one. I think this is another good spot for an under. Troy is favored by 9.5. The total is 46.5. I think the under's in play here just because, I mean, look at last week with the Service Academy under that hit again for like the 80th time in a row. Troy's got four unders in a row coming into this one, and their defense is top 25 in the nation for total yards allowed. So I think there's a good chance this could be another kind of low scoring slugfest here.
Yeah, and with Troy in a sandwich situation, I mean, they practically have the Sun Belt locked up, but they can't afford to lose their last two games, or they might not. So they're in a Sun Belt sandwich. They're playing the option of Army. Now, as we've talked about, and we talked about in depth last week, one of the ways to stop the option, the reason that the military games go under, is the familiarity with defending the option. You know, you're playing an option team against an option team. Does Troy have that familiarity? Well, how about this? Troy's defensive line coach, Eric McDaniel, coached at Army. Their defensive coordinator, Shio Wood, was the co-DC at Army last year in 2021 and the linebacker coach in 2020. He was also the defense coordinator at Wofford, which ran the option, and coached at Georgia Tech under Paul Johnson. Does this defense know how to defend the option? My answer would be yes. Is it a good defense? Oh, it's a really good defense. They're holding opponents to 91 yards per game below their season average, number 11 in the country. Army's offense is not explosive this year. They have put some points on the board against weak teams like Colgate, ULM, Villanova. But when they take on really good teams, they don't score. Troy's offense is not overwhelming. And in fact, I think if you talk to Coach Summerall, he's playing it the way he wants to play it, which is our defense is going to win us the game. Let's not make mistakes on offense. They had 17 against Texas State, 10 against South Alabama, and even last week needed a late rally to come out with 23 against Louisiana. So I agree with you 100% there, Tripp. This game's an under game. What's your best play here?
It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Let's go to the night slate. Let's have some fun in primetime, the evening thrill session. And we're going to see three of the top seven Heisman candidates all in action during the 7 o'clock hour in the form of Bo Nix, Drake May, and even Stetson Bennett IV. The mailman will start there. Top-ranked Georgia on the road at Mississippi State. Bulldogs given 16.5, 53.5 is the total. 7 o'clock on ESPN. Phil, before the year started, because you know I was all about Mississippi State. I took the over train on their season win total. I hit there. But I circled this game in particular as what I felt, not knowing what Tennessee was to become, although it's hard for anybody to have seen what the Volunteers have come. But I thought Mike Leach and Mississippi State might pose the biggest threat to Georgia here week 11. Do you feel like the Bulldogs can hang with the Bulldogs from Athens?
You know, it seems like a really bad situation for Georgia coming off that massive game against Tennessee going on the road. But I have to be honest with you, Kyle. When I look at Mississippi State's offense, it can be stopped. And I put this up here. You go back to the LSU game. They had 184 yards in the first half, which you can see down here with the little cursor. For the rest of the game, they only had 105 yards. They were shut down in the second half by LSU. When they played Kentucky, they only had 225 yards in that game. 13 first downs. They were shut down. Alabama shut them down. They scored a touchdown the last play of the game. So they're an offense that can be shut down. Georgia is a defense that can shut people down. They're number one in the country. They're holding opponents to 154 yards per game below their season average. And so it's a defense that I think matches up well with Mississippi State. They did not play last year, so we don't have anything to go take a look at there. And I don't think they've played since Leach has taken over. I'll take a quick look at this. Last meeting was 2020. They did play him. That was in Leach's first year. 358 yards Mississippi State had in the game. So I think Georgia, which does extremely well as an away favorite. Kirby Smart's not a great home favorite. He's 18-7 as a away favorite. And I do like them to go on the road and get the win by more than the number here due to the fact I think they can shut that defense down, offense down.
All right, jumping over to the Big 12. This is a big game. Number four, TCU on the road at Texas. Longhorns favored here by 7. Got the total sitting at 65. Look, I told you last week I'm done betting against TCU, but I'm going to bet on them this week. I think they're in a good spot here. Well, I don't know if it's a great spot, but it's just one of those things where I think the line is kind of fishy, but it doesn't always turn out that way that the fishy team wins. I think I go back to Florida State and Clemson. We both like Clemson, but we heard all this chatter leading into the game that the line alone, only 3.5. Maybe that tells you something that we should be betting on Florida State, but it just doesn't always pan out like that. And I like TCU in this spot. I think it's they're also hopeful they're going to get their wide receiver Quentin Johnson out there to play, and that's a big deal. He's a first-round pick. And TCU's won 7 of 10 in this rivalry since joining the Big 12. What do you like here, Phil?
My favorite play in this one, Trip, is the first half line. So if your first half line is Texas minus 3.5, I'll take the horns on that all day. As we know with Texas, they jump out to leads.
Yeah.
They've led almost every game the last 2 years at the half, at the end of three quarters. They've got leads by a single digit, double digit. When they get to the fourth quarter, that's where they struggle. Blown double-digit leads last year, blown double-digit leads this year. Even last week, they tried to give away the Kansas State game, a game they absolutely thoroughly dominated, were in complete control. Kansas State had the ball down 7 at the end of the game. Meanwhile, TCU, they start out extremely slow. They trail everybody. They were down by 17 against Oklahoma State, down by 17 against Kansas State. Even last week, they trailed Texas Tech again in the third quarter. So I like Texas minus the 3.5 in the first half of this game. That would be my best play because I know Texas will be on top. And I know once we get to the fourth quarter, TCU definitely has a chance to get back in it. I do think Texas is the better team, deserves to be a 7-point favorite. But TCU has shown on the field that they can't be beat. So it'll be interesting to see how that one turns out.
It's happened 6 times where a team with 3 losses has been favored by a 9-0 team. Those previous 6 times have all been only by a field goal or less. So this is the first time, based on my research, at least the nuggets I've been able to pick up on, that team is favored by more than a field goal. So yeah, I think it's fishy. I certainly will be leaning TCU here, sneak peek of what's to come. That's a 7:30 ABC game. We'll have Phil's top 3 plays here before we get out of here momentarily. Plus, we'll go chasing, and we'll have a sicko pick, Trips teaser. Another ranked on ranked game, just to mention, we won't ask for your handicap on it, Phil, just to move for the sake of time, but number 25, Washington at 6 ranked Oregon. Ducks, or the Huskies, are catching 13.5, 72.5 is the total. That's a 7 o'clock game on Fox. If you are looking to wager on that one, it's important to note the Ducks have dominated that series overall. They've won 15 of 17 straight up and against the spread, 7 of 8 in Eugene, while Washington leads overall. But again, Oregon has dominated that series of late. Let's get to one of my specialties for Saturday night. Here, not far from where we come to you inside our showcase studios, and the beautiful offices of Learfield and Winston-Salem at Truist Field, okay, 5 minutes from where we're recording this live right now. Wake Forest is going to host North Carolina. The Tar Heels are ranked 15th. Wake has slid all the way out of the rankings. They're catching 3.5. 77 is the total. 7:30 game on ESPN2. I like North Carolina here as a 3.5-point dog, Phil. Can they be perfect against the Deacs and send Dave Clawson and Wake Forest to a third straight loss?
Can you live in that moment as best you can with clear eyes and love in your heart, with joy in your heart? If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect.
Yeah, and this just highlights what Tripp was saying about the, or what Kyle was saying about the Oregon-Washington game. As you can see, Oregon absolutely dominates the series. In fact, they're 13-0 straight up and against the spread when favored in the series. So that's a pretty good number there. I think the Wake Forest-North Carolina game is going to be a great game. I was hoping Wake might even be an underdog with North Carolina coming in with a great record. They're not. They're laying over a field goal in this one. They should bounce back at home. Keep in mind, the last 2 weeks they've taken on really good defenses. This week, they're not taking on a really good defense. So Sam Hartman should have a good game. I think North Carolina will have a good game against them. And what's this thing average? Over 100 points the last 2 years? So my favorite play in this one's probably the over.
It's 77, the last check I have. That's a big number. So, yeah, I think easily it can go over. I almost think there's going to be too many turnovers, though. I mean, look at the way Sam Hartman has turned the ball over. Like, that's going to limit the scoring. It's been 11 turnovers in the last two games for Wake Forest, and Sam Hartman has been very turnover prone. He's certainly going to be happy to get back inside the friendly confines of Truist Field, I think, on Saturday night. So
yeah, that was taking on Louisville's defense with that pass rush on the road, yeah, and North Carolina's defense on the road. Now he's at home against a North Carolina defense that is giving up 422 yards per game. So it'll be a different animal with Hartman, I think. And the last 2 years, by the way, in this rivalry, the scores are 58-55, so that's 113 points. And the previous meeting with North Carolina, I should just click on it, but let's see if we got 2019, was it? 2018? Well, oh no, they met twice. Well, anyway, both the totals went over 100 points.
This is one of those non-conference games, too, I think, that they're trying to schedule. I know they've worked that into the formula over the last few years so they can play each other more for those fan bases. Of course, we know every North Carolina football fan is also an App State football fan. So, you know.
This one is a conference game.
Okay. All right. I can't keep up with it. They go back and forth now just to play each other more.
Well, look, guys, if you want to take the over in this game, but you're worried about just, you know, that big 77 number, all you got to do is tease it like I'm going to do, because that one's in there this week. But staying in the ACC, we'll get to one more game here. Florida State on the road at Syracuse. 2-6-3 teams kind of going in opposite directions right now. Florida State's looked great the last 2 weeks. And right now for Syracuse, the quarterback, Garrett Schrader, he's questionable. If they have to trot out Carlos Del Rio Wilson again, I would probably lean towards wanting the Noles right now. It looks like they're favored by 7.5. Total sitting at 50.5, 51. Maybe a lower scoring game here, but I'm leaning towards Florida State.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lower scoring game. And I think when you look at Syracuse, you can look at the fact that Sean Tucker just hasn't been Sean Tucker as of late. Let's take a quick look at Sean Tucker and how he's done this season. And as you see here, he had 18 carries for 42 yards against Purdue, 21 carries for 60 yards against Virginia, 14 for 98 against NC State, 54 yards against Clemson, 60 against Notre Dame, and last week 10 carries for 19 yards. So Sean Tucker is not last year's Sean Tucker. And as you mentioned, Schrader missed last week. It was Carlos Del Rio Wilson, and they struggled against Pitt. And this is a team that I think does play a lot better at home. They, you know, they're carrier. Well, it's not the carrier dome anymore. It's whatever they call it nowadays. JMA
wireless. Yeah.
Yeah, but they are very loud at home. And if they can recapture that crowd off of three losses like they've had, then Florida State may have a little bit of trouble with snap counts, things like that. But I do think Florida State's playing much better football right now. In fact, they're playing to an average game grade of 118.0 the last 4 weeks. Syracuse just at 102 level the last 4 weeks.
Okay, we've given everyone enough information to this point to be able to lean one way or another, make well-informed decisions on how to go about their wagering on both Thursday and Friday, and of course on Saturday, week 11. But in the instance, in the scenario, heaven forbid, we're faced having to come from behind and do some chasing and get right, there are some options late on Saturday night.
Living. 14 beers and 3 bad beats deep, it's time for a late night chaser.
And I'm just going to serve all these up to you, Phil, and you tell me where the value is. But just so the listener and the viewer can be well informed, last week, if you're interested, the Fresno pick covering 22.5 against Hawaii, that was easy money, 55-13. We're running out of opportunities to see Jake Haener, too. Only a couple of more opportunities to see him. Certainly a fun quarterback, as Fresno will be in action early before Saturday this week. Arizona State couldn't cover the 8.5 against UCLA. As for this week, though, 13th-ranked Utah giving 24 against Stanford, 10 o'clock on ESPN, 12th-ranked UCLA. Given 19.5 against Arizona, the over-under is 78, 10:30 game on Fox. And then you got 3 Mountain West games that are on the docket, Phil. You've got Boise State, who's 5-0 in the Mountain West at 10:30. Also then a 4-1 team in San Jose State. Both of them are on the road. And then Hawaii is home to Utah State at 11. They are catching 11.5. What do you like most about the late night games on Saturday? Where can we find some value?
Yeah, I think of the 5 games that you threw out, I probably like Boise over Nevada the best. Boise is coming off a loss against BYU, but it was a non-conference game. Boise still controls its destiny in the Mountain West. They had been playing great football prior to playing BYU last week, where they were very disappointing. Meanwhile, Nevada opened up the season 2-0, but they opened up that way because they were +9 in turnovers. They haven't been +9 in turnovers since then. They have lost every single game. They've gotten blown out on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They can't move the football on offense, and they struggle to stop on defense. Boise's the exact opposite in the Mountain West. I think Boise easily handles this home field edge that Nevada will have. How many fans are going to be there? I'll take Boise minus the points on the road.
All right, you heard the man. Boise for your late night chaser. He's got 3 top plays, though. Spectacular decisions for you in your life. You should choose to follow Phil. Of course, bet smarter, not harder, with Phil Steele Plus. Go to philsteele.com. At philsteele042 is where you can follow him all weekend. So, Phil, you gave out winners. Notre Dame +4, Iowa State -7 among the winners this past weekend. I went 3-0 myself. What do you got for us lined up for week 11?
Bet smarter, not harder. Time for Phil's top 3 plays.
Well, 2 of the games we talked about already. I do like Alabama minus the points over Mississippi. I think Alabama off a loss is a no-brainer, and Ole Miss has not impressed me. They have a great record, but it's done against a soft schedule. I also like another game we talked about, which is Nebraska +32. I think it's 32. Against Michigan right now, that's a lot of points to lay. Michigan's got some big games on deck, and Nebraska hasn't been blown out by anybody in the Big Ten the last 3 years. And the final one we go with, we didn't talk about, but it does look like a really good situation. Nobody's talking about Jim Mora at Connecticut, but talk about a coach that could be on par for Coach of the Year. He's not only doing it on the field. They've got 5 wins. They need one more, and they'll be bowl eligible. Raise your hand if you had Connecticut to be bowl eligible this year. But Jim Mora is also doing it where it counts most, and you'll know about that trip. 8-2 against the spread. So he's a guy that's doing a great job there. They're catching a Liberty team that's off a massive win over Arkansas last week. They've got Virginia Tech, another Power 5 team on deck. This is a flat spot for them, I think, with Virginia Tech on deck, their final home game after that. And they had to be partying in the late hours when they beat Arkansas last week. So I actually like Connecticut +15 over Liberty. So 2 big dogs, 1 big favorite this week.
I love that, Phil. We had UConn on the docket, but we passed for the sake of time, so I'm glad you were able to work that one in. And, yeah, unreal to think that UConn can become bowl eligible as they host Liberty this weekend. 12 o'clock game on CBS Sports Network. So Alabama -12, Nebraska +32. We'll give you that. UConn catching what is 14.5 at home against Liberty. Those are Phil's top 3. I thought about going Vanderbilt money line. I thought about it. Against Kentucky, but I think Vanderbilt's inability to sack the quarterback is going to allow Kentucky and Will Levis to find himself back into the first round of NFL draft boards this weekend. So and Vandy is terrible in defending the pass. So it's 17, 18 points. I'm going to stay away from that. So I'm going to go with my gut here. contrarian also going against you, Phil. I'm taking North Carolina. That is my underdog pick of the weekend. 3.5-point underdog at Wake Forest, giving North Carolina. Also thought about taking the under additionally, but after you were rattling off all those previous scores, that was just reminding me of all of the points the last couple of years, and I'd hate to hitch my wagon to that. But give me North Carolina. 3.5-point underdog. SMU, I'm taking them on the road at South Florida. There's no way that offense just doesn't continue to roll against South Florida, who's fired Jeff Scott this past weekend. 77-63 winners over Houston last week. They cover the 17.5. The Bulls have the third worst scoring defense. They're 85th in offense. They've given up 141 points over the last three games. So SMU is the last team they'll want to see this weekend. And then LSU +4, another contrarian pick against you, Phil. I like them. The battle for the Golden Boot, as they'll win that in Fayetteville, covering the 4 points. I don't think they're looking ahead to Atlanta coming up on December 3rd. I think they'll take care of business after an emotional win. And really, they just got to win two of their last three games. They got UAB sandwiched in there, but those two other SEC games, A&M being the other one, to conclude the year, and they'll be in Atlanta hands down. Of course, if they get tripped up and Alabama wins out, then the Crimson Tide can find themselves representing the SEC West. Trip, teaser time. What you got, man?
Have you ever tasted a rainbow? With Tripp's teaser pick of the week, you will.
Well, before we do teaser time, Kyle, somebody should mention your picks have been unreal here lately over the last few weeks. You've been on a roll. So I should probably just piggyback off you. But
Well, what? We had last week LSU +13, Liberty +13.5, and then the under 40.5 autoplay, Air Force and Army.
Yeah.
I mean, that cashed easy.
Yep. You've been on a roll. All right, look, as soon as Phil brought this up, the one game that we haven't talked about, I just had a bad feeling because the first game on the teaser was Liberty, which I teased down to 7.5. But Phil, if you like UConn, like I said, I'm not locking this stuff in yet. Why don't we just tease UConn to where they're getting 21.5?
Wow. Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. We like Bama. I think everybody's on Bama right now. If we tease them, we get them down to 4.5 on the road in Oxford. I like Florida State this week. They just have to win the game. They've got to win the game against Syracuse. And then we'll tease the over-under down to 70 between UNC and Wake Forest.
Nice.
It's marvelous.
And you won it last week, Tripp?
Yeah, barely won last week. We had two games that came in with half a point. So Tulsa, I had Tulsa +14.5. And then the Western Kentucky game, which we kind of discussed on here, it went over by half a point.
Yeah, that was amazing. 59 points by Western Kentucky. It was just something where Charlotte couldn't contribute anything, despite getting 384 yards last week.
How about Western Kentucky? They're going to wear the big red, right? Their mascot uniforms this week, where the big red logo is taking up the whole entire side of the helmet, and it's also covering their visor, their eyes. Like, it's the most incredible, like, obnoxious and scary thing I've seen on a uniform ever. So we should have worked WKU into the board this week, into the dance card. I would have taken all the points with them for sure.
Pour one out for the true sicko. That's all of us.
Okay, the sickos is really the most impressive thing, Phil and Tripp. 9-2 now on these picks. Now, I had a dilemma this week after Temple TKO Jeff Scott last week, ending his career in Tampa. 54-28, the Owls won, covering 3.5 at home. They're now 5-0 at home. ATS Temple gets the sickos to 9-2. Do I go Charlotte, Middle Tennessee, or do I go towards kind of a more of a power league? And I'm going to take the power approach here because I think the Miami-Georgia Tech game is just a whole bunch of nastiness for all the wrong reasons. I mean, you look at the way Miami got annihilated last week against Florida State. Your boys trip down 31-3 at the half. They lost 45-3. They have to go 2-1 in their last three games to go bowling. And one of those games is against Clemson. So give me Miami as a 1.5-point favorite to beat the brakes off Georgia Tech and find some semblance of an offense, just enough against a Georgia Tech team that just had to eke by a terrible Virginia Tech team this past weekend. So, but my goodness, Florida State just giving it to Miami this past weekend. They've lost four straight at home, longest such skid since 1973. Give me the Canes, though. At Georgia Tech, it's not at home. It's on the flats, 3:30 ESPN 3. The Hurricanes cover the 1.5. Phil, week 11, it's coming hot and heavy. We've got games tonight, Friday, and Saturday. We can monitor you all weekend at PhilSteele042. And, of course, your YouTube special, more on Phil Steele Plus, coming out on Friday.
Sounds good. Always a lot of fun. Let's keep the winners rolling, huh, guys?
We've got winners. Week 11, college football Saturday night. Check out Baylor and Kansas State. Download the Varsity Network app if you haven't already. He's Phil Steele at PhilSteele042, at Trip Heard, at Kyle Schass. And that's it for week 11. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.